Thank you. So just welcome everybody to the Concepts Study Ad Hoc Committee's first town hall, focusing on Concept 2. Thank you all so much for being here, taking time out of your weekend to join us. And I am going to hand it over to Dove to kick us off with a prayer or affirmation.
Thank you. So as we begin, I would invite everyone to just take a deep breath, take a moment of silence for the adult child in and out of the rooms who still suffers. And then in the words of your choice, the affirmation of your choice, the language of your choice, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you.
Thank you, Dove. Sue, I think you are up for the next section.
Thank you. So I'm going to say hello, bienvenue, hola, hala, hi, privia, and namaste. I am Sue V, grateful adult child, an ACA member of 14 years from Canada. I'm going to introduce each of our committee members. And since I'm talking, I might as well start it off. And I am in my 14th year of ACA, fourth year as a trustee, and my third year as the chair of the board. I started learning about concepts when I started working with Intergroup, and Concept 10 specifically, with every service responsibility has clear roles and authorization levels. Very helpful. I deepened my learning of concepts when I started with World Service, especially at the board level. I've been a member for the past 2 years of this committee and have learned a lot in the last year with our open and curious conversations around how does everyone interpret, especially Concept 2 right now. I believe the concepts are important for a healthy relationship with our fellowship and delegates in the conference. And I'm going to call upon Kelly next for an introduction.
Thank you, Sue. My name is Kelly J. I'm calling in from Miami, Florida. I have been a member of this committee since its inception in 2022. I have been in ACA for about 13 years. Prior to becoming a member of this committee, I went through a 2-year sort of study group with Karen, focusing on the concepts. So I'm still learning about the concepts, and I'm happy to be here. I'm also a delegate for my home group. So that is it for me.
Thank you, Kelly. And Kaz, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, I have been in ACA for about 10 years, started the Bellingham, Washington group, or restarted it. And I've been in this committee since last year. And basically, I very much love the fact that the concepts are not just all about business and work and how committees and conferences work, but actually speak to my own personal growth and recovery and are very applicable to them. Pass.
Thank you, Koss, and I'll ask Josh to speak.
Sure. Hi, I'm Josh. I'm in Washington, D.C. Let's see here. My home group's in Washington, D.C., although I do a lot of meetings online these days. I'm the chair of the Northeast region. I've done a lot of service at the intergroup and region level, as well as now WSO for the past probably 5 or 6 years. I seem to recall having a conversation with Karen a number of years ago about the concepts and how well we understood them in ACA. And I was kind of chuckling about the fact that, at least at that period of time, if I recall correctly, that it was like a lot of people in ACA don't even know what's in the concepts, that we have concepts, much less what's in them. And I think we've started to make a lot of progress on that. And I think that's very encouraging to me. Pass to Charlie.
Thank you. And Charlie, would you like to introduce yourself next?
Sure. Hi, I'm Charlie. I'm a member of the Concepts committee, and I was on the board for a fairly lengthy time from 2020, late 2026 to the beginning of 2016, rather, 2023. And yet I actually really started studying the concepts as they related to ACA well before I even thought there would be any possibility of joining the board. I just wanted to see where we stood in terms of how responsive was the organization to the conference, to the fellowship. And so I did a lot of studying from starting years ago with the all the AA documentation about how they did theirs, which I thought was just like a wealth of what did we do and what were we thinking. And so I've also been a member of the Concept Study Committee from its inception in late 2022, and I would just say I felt very heartened by the ability for everybody from very different perspectives to really dig into what the concepts mean, to what degree they need to be changed in ACA. And I think we all agree that starting with concept two today, that some changes are needed. So I'm just looking forward to being part of today's discussion.
Thanks, Charlie. And last but not least, Dove H, would you like to introduce yourself?
I am Dove. This is my third year on the board. And when I remember in my interview to get onto the board, one of the questions was, do you know the traditions? Do you know the concepts? And I said, well, I know pretty much the traditions, but, and I've read the concepts, but I really don't know anything about them. And so when this group started, was going to form, I jumped in because, and I told them, I'm here because I want to learn. I want to understand more, and I want to see where this, where we need to go with this. So this is a learning curve for me. I am involved in many, many committees now, and no need to take the time to outline them. But I have been enjoying my time in this committee. So thanks.
Thank you so much, Duff. And I think we're supposed to screen share, and Kelly's going to be taking over for me in a moment, but I think we're going to ask someone to read the 2024 motion. So who's screen sharing? And Kelly, do you want to take over this part, or I'll just finish it for you?
Yeah, I can go ahead and take over. Does somebody, maybe Cause or Josh, have our agenda pulled up and can screen share it? There we go. Boom. Okay, so what Josh just highlighted, could I have a volunteer, a delegate, volunteer to read this? What's highlighted? Laura.
Hi there. 2024 ABC motion that to support an informed group conscience process, the following language be approved by the conference today for subsequent group consideration and a final vote at the 2025 ABC as a replacement for the current concept two. ACA groups delegate to the World Service Conference the authority to act as their effective voice and conscience, and to represent the fellowship in World Service matters.
Thank you, Laura. And just if you all see above that, the why are we here today? So that was what we came up with why we are here today. That was the 2024 ABC motion that passed. Okay, and now I am going to continue with reading, not too much, but a little bit that we hope resonates with the group here today on the concepts. ACA's 12 concepts of service are 12 statements of purpose, I'm sorry, 12 statements of principle that explain how the various pieces of world service fit together. This includes the roles and relationship of the fellowship, the conference, the ACA World Service Organization, Board of Trustees, WSO committees, and the WSO paid staff. The 12 concepts are intended to be practical applications of the basic spiritual principles represented in the 12 traditions and 12 steps. Next paragraph is directly out of the Big Red Book, page 615. The 12 concepts keep our world services and groups focused on carrying a consistent ACA message while maintaining a service structure responsible to the fellowship voice. The concepts help trusted servants discern the will of ACA and carry out the responsibilities granted by the fellowship. We bring humility and gratitude to this fellowship work. At times, we act on behalf of the fellowship, knowing our duties are on loan from the fellowship as a whole. Tradition 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as expressed in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. This last line is an idea, something for everyone to ponder. The ACA concept 2 is intended to implement ACA's tradition 2 in the context of world service. And scroll down a little bit. Thank you, Josh. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to turn this section over to Josh to start us off.
Take myself off mute there. So I'm going to take the first part of this, and Charlie's going to take the second part. And sorry for the honking in the background. Joys of living in the city. Okay, can somebody do a timer? You're supposed to do about 20 minutes, I believe. That'd be great. Okay, so let's talk about this. I'm going to actually take a step back from this for a second. If everybody remembers this committee did a presentation at the ABC, this is one slide of this, which is, you know, three legacies. Recovery through the 12 steps, unity through the 12 traditions, service through the 12 concepts. In other words, 12 steps are about the health of the person, 12 traditions, health of the group, 12 concepts, health of world services. When we did our report, we had a number of sort of findings and recommendations. One of them was about a recommendation for updating the draft language of concept 2. As we went over previously a couple minutes ago, the conference approved that, and so that's part of what that's why we're here today. This is a presentation that Charlie put together at the ABC, but I'm just going to jump to this slide so we can all see it. There's the current concept 2 and the proposed new concept 2. So we can just stare at that for a second. The current concept 2 says authority for the active maintenance of our world services is hereby delegated to the actual voice, the effective conscience of our whole fellowship. If we flip back here, well, what's the problem with that? The problem is that, well, this committee's finding was that the current concept 2 is fundamentally flawed. Which is that while it says delegated to the actual voice, the effective conscience of our whole fellowship, it doesn't say who the actual voice and effective conscience of ACA's fellowship actually is. So this concept 2 basically inserts the idea of the World Conference, World Service Conference, serving that function. I think, Charlie, I could pass to you now if you like. I can keep going, but I don't want to steal your thunder.
Massive amounts of thunder here. What else would you want to share, Josh? Because I feel like you just really got
I think that's pretty much about it for this one.
Okay. Okay. In that case, I'll pick it up. So maybe we'll be able to save some time here.
Okay.
Let me come out of hiding. So first off, thanks very much to everybody who's here. I want to extend a special thanks to Karen, who's one of our speakers today. But I think it's really worth noting that all of this process began with a ballot proposal in 2022, asking for clarification of concepts 2 and 6. And Karen was one of the co-submitters of that proposal. And of course, even before it got to the ABC, it had to go through the whole fellowship process. So Karen, in addition to everything else, I just want to thank you for your role in getting this discussion going. Josh laid out what was the biggest, by far, the killer flaw of the current concept too. It's just vague. It's who's doing this role. It's really not clear. And that was our starting point. I think everybody on our committee agreed with that issue. And that we all sort of said, well, we just need to get the word conference in the middle of this concept, which is virtually the way all other fellowships do it. They specify that the concept, the conference rather, is the voice and conscience of the fellowship. But actually, as you can see from the next section, we kept looking at it and we kept coming up with additional issues that we wanted to address. And a key one, the first one was kind of simply who is doing the speaking, and we all agreed it was the conference. But also, a few moments ago, this slideshow noted that one of the things the concepts do is, in essence, implement tradition 2 at a world service level. In other words, boards are trusted servants of somebody who. The conference is a trusted servant of somebody who. And so when we really started trying to think of how do we really make the tradition role, tradition to trusted servant idea explicit, we came up with two additional questions. If the conference speaks on behalf of the fellowship, who exactly who's giving them this authority? You know, in other words, it's my opinion that trusted servants need to be able to say who delegated the trust to them, and then what were they delegated to do? And so that was question one: who actually is giving the conference this role of speaking on behalf of the fellowship? And then secondly, what exactly do we mean by voice and effective consciousness? Is this a conscious? Is this simply a debating society, or is there some meaningful role that is there? So when we got the journey from, and if I could have you go to that slide you were showing a minute ago, Josh, the before and the after.
Oops, wrong one. Hold on one second.
Yeah, there we go. No problem. There we go. Really, we're sort of giving you the 10-minute version of a year and a half of different kinds of discussions. How did we get from point A to point B? Really, it was trying to answer these questions. One is current concept 2 says they're the effective conscience for the whole fellowship. And many, many other 12-step programs try to narrow this down and say, really, you are speaking on behalf of the groups, because it's really kind of hard to go out and ever figure out what does every member of the fellowship everywhere think at any given moment? And we felt, although we're still talking about how exactly this would happen, that the conference should be receiving their authority to speak on behalf of the groups by the groups. So right now we're doing it just through the act of writing. ACA groups delegate to the World Service Conference the authority to act as their effective voice and conscience. As I say, I think there's some discussion as to how we can how we would go about engaging the groups to do that. And then secondly, I think we felt it was important anticipating concept 6, which was also part of our original charter, to really give them a specific authority, and that was to represent the fellowship in world service matters. It wasn't simply enough to come in and say, well, I want to opine very assertively here and not have anything to back it up. And concept 6 does note that the conference has the final, the last word on large matters of policy and finance. So we really wanted ideas like authority and representing the fellowship in this concept too. Now, looking at the original We don't think there's anything really radically different from the original concept two, except we're kind of plugging the holes. Who speaks on behalf of the fellowship? Well, the World Service Conference. We have that in there now. Who is authorizing them to do this? Instead of is hereby delegated, a nice passive voice phrase that doesn't actually say anything. We're saying no, it's the ACA groups that are doing this act of delegation. And what is being an effective actual voice and effective conscience for? We wanted to have these additional ideas of representing the fellowship in World Service matters to make clear that this is a policy setting role that really has been entrusted to the conference. Now, the happy news is we all got together on concept two. We are still grinding through concept six, which is a little bit more about how to apply this. And several of us are also in a charter group, which will also have some impact in talking about where this goes. But when we went to the ABC in May, we felt that this one was far enough along that it was simply time to get it out of our committee kind of discussions and really start putting it out where people could see it, think about it, and comment on it. And so I think that's where we're heading for the rest of the day. Now, I need some guidance. Is there anything else in Josh's and my section that we need to say before we move to the next segment?
Well, I would like to jump in and quickly
By all means, please.
summarize something. I mean, so there's two basic things that are happening here. One is, and this is just my take. I don't mean to speak for the committee, but I think we'd all be agreeing on this. Please jump in if anyone disagrees here from the committee. The first thing we realize is essentially there's just something missing here, right? Like, it's like somebody did some. It's almost like a typographical thing happen there. Like there's like a phrase missing, the conference or the World Service Conference. And so the first thing we're thinking is just like, well, we need to get that in there. And then the second part, which Charlie was spelling out more, is a little bit more nuanced about pulling in things like actual authority. The conference has authority, which is delegated to them by the groups. And they then have the authority as delegated by the groups to, represent the fellowship in World Service matter. So one is just getting the conference in there. Two is teasing out a little of these implications a little bit more. Is that a fair summary, Charlie? Anyone else?
I would completely agree with that.
Okay.
As I say, coming back to that question I sort of put out with all things tradition too, who is actually delegating the trust to you as a trusted servant? Who are you actually serving? And then what exactly are they trusting you to do? We sort of felt all pieces of this in one way. Even when you put the word conference in concept two, those other two things really needed fleshing out. So yeah, I would totally agree with what you said, Josh. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else we need before we open it up.
Kelly's hands up, and we have 9 minutes left of this section, and I think we wanted to open it up with questions, but I'm going to turn it over to Kelly.
Actually, yes, that's the, I was going to suggest with our remaining time, which is now 8 minutes and 45 seconds, we open it up for comments, question and answers from the attendees. Sharon.
Hi everyone, it's good to see you all, and I just wanted to say thank you to this committee because I know it started out as a study group. And let me go back. I'm Sharon, an adult child. I have been active previously in service with WSO. I served on various committees and then eventually spent 2 years on the board from 2020 to 2022. And it became a crash course in the concept, as well as understanding where the ambiguities were. And so getting back to what I was saying, I really appreciate the original study group, and then I appreciate the delegates to create these study the study concept study committees, and for everybody that's just kept on and trying to clarify the language on behalf. And so that authority was delegated to this committee, and it's good to see. So I just wanted to say thank you. I know there's the talk in a little bit, but I just wanted to say thank you to everybody for your perseverance in combing through all of this stuff. And it's music to my ears to hear people say, well, who delegates and what's this and what's that? And let's bring clarity. So thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Sharon. And Ruby.
Can I be seen or heard? Can I be heard?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I just have a quick question for the committee. I'm just wondering, do you consider this a almost completed proposal, or are you still in the process of making changes, or you just want our feedback on what we think you have done? Like, I'm just trying to understand the parameters of your committee.
Thank you, Ruby. Josh, I see your hand up. That means you want to take it?
I think this was the thing that we might have something at the bottom of the agenda that addresses this. Mm-hmm. So great question, Ruby. We thought somebody would say, what are you going to do with these comments, right?
Hey, Josh, whoever's got this slide, I'm speaking for everybody older than I think 30.
Does that help?
Thank you. Okay.
Okay. So this is kind of the what we came up with, right, as a committee in response to this anticipated question, which is like, okay, so I'm just going to read it. Given the 2024 motion, right, so let's go back to the motion for a second, right? Here we go, right? So to form blah, 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 following language be approved by the conference today for subsequent group consideration and a final vote at the 2025 ABC as a replacement for the current concept two, proposed new language, right? So what we're saying here is, okay, given that motion that passed at the 2024 ABC, our understanding is that the proposed language will not change between now and 2025. So what's the proposed there? Would be sort of what's on the docket for the 2025 ABC. However, the committee will take feedback back for further study and discussion, and it is possible it might result in updated proposed language recommended to the conference in 2025. And sort of like internally as a committee, what we said is, well, the conference already kind of approved. They said in 2024, this is the language we want to see up for vote at 2025. So if we as the committee got some feedback that made us want to make a slightly different recommendation, we could do that sort of as like a piece of information, as a like friend of the conference kind of information. But we don't have the power as a committee to just change that. We would simply be offering an opinion to the conference itself. Any other committee members want to weigh in on that?
Yeah. I'd like to speak to it. Yeah, we did talk about this, Ruby, and I very much am of the position. If somebody offers it, there's a reason we're doing town halls. We want to see what people think. We would certainly want to know if people think we're way off course or we're pretty much there, but there's like one thing we haven't considered. I basically said I'm of the mindset, if somebody offers us really good insight on how to improve this, I cannot imagine going back to the 2025 ABC without at least us offering that as an alternative, you know, to the conference. The conference will be the ones making the final decision. So anybody who gives us feedback today should do so in the expectation that it has every possibility of, you know, affecting the discussion that happens next year.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you for the question, Ruby. We have 2 minutes and 40 seconds left for anybody else who would like to make a comment or a question.
Can I actually ask a point of procedure? I think we're actually using time that was originally allocated to Josh and me for presentation. And then there was going to be a 10-minute Q&A after that. So is it possible we could open it up to as much as 12 minutes total, 2 minutes of Josh and me time, and then 10 for group? Because I see five hands are up.
Yeah, Charlie, it's Sue. I think it was a total of 20 minutes for section two, which included the Q&A.
Oh, it was. Okay, I apologize.
But we can extend. Caution. We can extend and shorten different places. But don't forget, we have speakers that are coming up.
Right, of course. I apologize. I was clearly had a wrong understanding.
Okay, so I think, Ruby, I think that might be an old hand. So after that, I see Denise, Karen, and then Marcus, and then we will probably move on. So we'll go in that order. Denise.
Hi, Denise, adult child. I just want to say at first, it's like I've had real concerns about changing any documents, because that's, to me, that's critical that we don't, that we wisely do that. And what I'm looking at and what I'm hearing today is you all on this committee have very wisely looked at this, and it's brought me clarity. It's like, okay, I get it. It's like, I didn't get it before. I like how you changed it to make sure that it is the conference, especially since we're really working on getting the concept of a conference. So all that to say, thank you for your work. Well done. And I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thank you, Denise. Karen.
Thank you. I thought Denise was going to raise the same question I was, and I was about to lower my hand, but here we go. It's similar, but somewhat different. I recall when we submitted the ballot proposal for changing the language of concepts 2 and 6, we did quite a bit of research into the requirements for changing foundational documents in our fellowship. I know that other fellowships do have very specific requirements for that. But what we studied, what we found out when we went sort of to the historical record of the documents in ACA, such as the traditions, we discovered that there were a number of changes made to traditions in recent years that were voted on by the conference. So I wanted to check with the committee what your position. Beautiful music in the background, but I wanted to check with the committee what your position is on requirements for changing foundational documents. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
You mind if I speak to that? This is Kaz here.
Yes, just for our own information, we are out of time for this section, so maybe we can just take the remaining answer Karen's question and take one more hand and then move on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, pause then.
Oh, okay. Yes, it's very clear that the question Karen raised needs to be clarified in ACA. And that is absolutely going to be part of the charter work. But we're already starting to work on the concepts. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do and how are we going to do it? And I can say that has been discussed many times thoroughly, and we have not yet reached a recommendation. Number one, that's outside the scope of what we were asked to look at, which is why I say it's part of the work of the committee on a charter. However, it is also very, very clear, and mostly I'm going to be speaking to for myself and not for the committee right now. It's very, very clear that ultimately the fellowship as a whole has to make this choice. But how the devil does that happen? And so what most 12-step fellowships have realized is that that's essentially an impossible task. So what's the next step? The next step is, well, you go to the groups, because that's where individuals actually operate within and through. And so at least speaking for me, and I know it has been somewhat widely acknowledged that somehow the groups as a whole will need to approve anything ultimately. What exists right now is a vote at an annual business conference, an ABC. And so that is what was proposed and approved by the conference. Whether that will be the ultimate mechanism is still unclear. And all I can say, again, for myself and folks who have spoken similar within our discussions, is that the groups will need, more broadly than as represented in the conference, the way it's currently set up, the groups as a whole are going to need to speak on any changes to any foundational traditions and the literature that support and embody those traditions. Pass.
Thank you, Kaz. And we're going to take Marcus as our final comment before we move on, and we're going to try to keep it brief. Thank you. Go ahead, Marcus.
Yeah, mine is somewhat related to what was just discussed previously here. But basically, sort of an aspect of a contradiction between concept one and concept two, as far as, you know, the ultimate, you know, the collective conscience of our whole fellowship and the role of the groups also in delegating authority to, in concept two, as rewritten, delegating authority to the conference to be the effective voice, et cetera. That to, like, how does that affect as far as the groups? Do they just delegate that and then that's it? And then say the groups don't vote on proposals. I mean, if they've delegated that authority once and for all or something, or is it an ongoing process in which they actually do things and they participate in a way through in the conference through things like proposals, etc. And also, I think that there are different ways. I mean, I think an example on a possible group conscience was what happened with the name change, where 7,000 people, you know, participated in a survey on the name change. That wasn't an actual vote, but, you know, I just don't want to, I want to see the maximum ability for individual members and groups to participate and that, you know, to keep that as, because I think that's tradition too. Pass.
Thank you, Marcus. I just want to say that all of the answers to all of these questions and ideas can't be found just in this one concept. They all work together. So more will be revealed as we continue to work on the concepts at large. And thank you, everybody. We are moving on to the next section, which is our panel speakers. So we've invited these four, Karen, Brad, Ruby, and Sharon, to share with us their thoughts on concept two. And you guys will have 4 minutes each. And we'd love to hear a little introduction from you and then take it away. Can somebody time each speaker, whoever's doing the timing? And once I bring Karen in, we'll start for 4 minutes.
I can time if you want me to. It's Laura.
That would be great.
Thank you, Laura.
Whoever's timing now can stop, and then Laura, you can, there it goes, and then you can start up. That's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Okay, so our first speaker is Karen. Karen, you are up. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thanks for the opportunity to geek out on the concepts, which is something I absolutely love to do. My name is Karen. I'm an adult child, and I am gratefully recovering in ACA. And I don't usually mention that in the context of an ACA meeting. I am also a grateful member of the Fellowship of Al-Anon. And I have been attending meetings for 15 plus years. I'm at the point where I don't really need to count every single 24-hour period that I continue on this journey. It's just a lifelong commitment on my part. And I would say for the first 10 years, I'm one of those few people who stumble across the traditions and concepts in early recovery and totally love them and can't imagine personal recovery without having that as a foundation, because that's what happened to me in my first summer of recovery. I walked into an Al-Anon meeting talking about the concepts after a very challenging experience with some ACA fellow travelers where something was missing. Even though everybody was committed to recovery, something was missing and things went awry in a rather upsetting and triggering way. And a few days after that, I walked into an Al-Anon meeting where they were talking about the concepts. And I was like, oh my God, this is the answer. This explains why this went so bad and why we all got so triggered and weren't able to really continue in a collaborative way in our, it was a weekend retreat setting. And that was my introduction. And I went from there. I studied the traditions and the concepts in Al-Anon for about 10 years. And I'll let Josh speak to that because we shared the same home group meeting at the time. But I would just say that study, that knowledge that I was learning at my Al-Anon meeting sort of influenced how I showed up in my ACA meeting. And I think our ACA meeting at the time benefited from that. But that's just my personal experience, strength, and hope. I'll let others speak to that from their personal perspective. And then, actually, I'll say Charlie and Josh and I collaborated in forming the DC area intergroup about, 10 years ago. It's been 10 years since we started that process. And after that, I ended up moving from DC to Illinois. And as one way of staying connected with my ACA program, I got involved in World Service. And I started introducing the concepts and how I had learned them in Al-Anon to my conversations about World Service Matters. And at some point, I went to the Big Red Book and read the ACA concepts and discovered they're actually different from what I had been studying in Al-Anon. And now what does that mean? So I started the concept study group at the time to talk with ACA fellow travelers about what the ACA concepts mean to all of us. And as that conversation unfolded, and I believe there are still recordings available from some of those discussions if anybody is interested, as that conversation unfolded, some of the inconsistencies within the ACA concepts became clear to me. And that's where the ballot proposal originated, that was the starting point for this work that the committee has taken on. And I see my time is almost up. I want to add one thought to what the concepts mean to me before I wrap up. It's the timer. The music is the timer. I see. I think it's been touched on in the presentation today, but really the concepts are about relationships. I think that's why they were so wholesome to me when I first encountered them, but they are about the relationships we establish across the service structure of our fellowship to have a foundation of trust for our interactions with each other. And I think it's very challenging for us as adult children to even imagine a relationship built upon trust, because that is so, to me personally, always speaking for myself, that was very unfamiliar in the environment that I grew up in. And these principles help me, regardless of what's going on around me, ground myself in an understanding of how relationships can serve to establish trust. And that's why I welcome the conversation that we're participating in today, because this is the framework where we can talk about how these relationships work and how we can collaborate in a way that forms the trust that we really need to be able to move both our personal recovery and our growth as a fellowship forward. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Karen. And we are going to move into Bradford. You are next.
Thank you. My name is Brad. I am an adult child. And as you can see, I'm on the beautiful seashore in Oklahoma City. Many of you may not have been aware that there was a seashore in Oklahoma City. But I am the chair of the ABC Study Subcommittee of the WSO ABC Committee, which is currently working on a draft of a charter for the ACA conference. We have been reviewing the 12 concepts of Alcoholics Anonymous to help us understand the principles that organization adopted that has created such a successful service structure. It's not our intent to simply adopt AA's charter for ACA, but it would be foolish for us not to take advantage of the AA experience by drawing from the elements of their concepts and their charter that makes sense for ACA. I'd like to share with you some of the information we have reviewed in our subcommittee to describe the principles that AA found to be fundamental to their version of Concept 2. These are excerpts from the essays written by their co-founder, Bill W., that accompanied his presentation of the AA 12 concepts to the AA Fellowship. He says, it is natural and even imperative that our service concept be based on a system of checks and balances. He says, it is self-evident that the thousands of AA groups and the many thousands of AA members scattered as they are all over the globe cannot of themselves actually manage and conduct our manifold world services. In order to get effective action, the groups must delegate the actual operational authority to chosen service representatives who are fully empowered to speak and act for them. The group conscience of AA could not be heard unless a properly chosen conference were fully trusted to speak for it, respecting most matters of world service. It was precisely in order to meet this need that the General Service Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous was given the general responsibility for the maintenance of AA's world services, and so became the service conscience for AA as a whole. The final say, the ultimate sanction in matters of large importance, has not been given to the Board of Trustees alone. This authority is now delegated to the AA groups and thence to their conference, a body which is a representative cross-section of our entire fellowship. From these excerpts and from reading the complete essays, it is clear to me that Bill Wilson's vision that he implemented for AA was for the conference to be the actual voice and the conscience of the fellowship, delegated to them by the groups, and with the authority to act on their behalf in matters of world service affairs. That's pretty much all I've got to share with you right now.
Thank you very much, Bradford. Appreciate the information coming from the AA program. Okay, Ruby, you are up next.
Hi, everyone. Ruby here. I'm very grateful that you've asked me to participate into this panel. I've been a member of ACA back in the days before it was fully formed as a separate group. The second time around, the first time around, it was generated by members in AA, but that crashed and burned. And it was revitalized by Al-Anon, which is where I come from. I don't come from AA, so I don't have anything to add in that direction. But I believe that I may have some perspective. I may have a perspective that is a different type of take on the concepts. When I came into the program several decades ago, coming up on four, I worked the steps, the traditions, and the concepts in concert with one another. I was lucky enough to have a sponsor I was in an Al-Anon meeting with an ACA focus. That's how it was done. That's how I was introduced to ACA. And then later on, I was part of several different people. I come from Southern California, and I was a part of several people who started up many ACA groups, participated in the intergroup formation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've been doing in and out of world service for several decades. This is what I want to add. I work the concepts the Al-Anon way. I voted against this particular proposal for the following reasons. I believe it still have various vague points in it. It doesn't help the regular ACA member apply it in their real life. It does a pretty good job, maybe not pretty good. It does a good job in specifying some of the powers of the conference, but for me, it gives too much authority to the World Service Conference to represent the groups. I come from a background where the voice is actually the groups, and the groups elect a delegate. We call it a delegate here, but it's called the GSR or GR elsewhere. That GSR, that delegate, is the voice of that group, and they come together in the World Service Conference to express that voice. Also, the powers and of the powers of the World Service Conference is authentically in, from my perspective, in the administration and the operational aspect only. The conference does, the trustees do not interfere in the groups because according to tradition three, all of the groups are autonomous. So for me, concept two in recovery is about trust, establishing trust, but also establishing boundaries and delineating specifically the reach and the power of both the conference, the representatives which, who represent the groups. I was told that working the steps was how I learned to love myself. Working the traditions was how I learned to love others. And working the concepts gave me the ability to love the world or the environment in which I moved and I lived in. So I'll close with that. Thank you for allowing me to participate in this panel.
Thank you so very much, Ruby, for your share. And next we have Sharon.
Hi, Sharon again. Thank you again, everybody. Sharon Adult Child, I'm in Durham, North Carolina. My home group is in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, right down the street. I'm honored to be asked to, well, I felt honored when I was asked to be part of this panel. I have a tendency to get quite passionate about this stuff. And so I'm glad that, so much has been said before me because I can start cutting out some of my overzealous things. I too came from the Al-Anon side of the dysfunctional family, and I'd like to read one of the intros to the 12 Steps of Service from the Al-Anon literature, about the concepts. And it says, the 12 steps and traditions are guides for personal growth and group unity. The 12 concepts are guides for service. They show how 12-step work can be done on a broad scale and how members of a World Service Office can relate to each other and to the groups through a World Service Conference to spread Al-Anon's message worldwide. What I like about this is what I like about what we're doing here, what this committee has been doing, and what the annual business conference is obviously in support of, is the clarity, because concept one talks about who the ultimate authority is, the group conscience of the fellowship. Well, so as a member of my group, it's my responsibility to be informed about what my group is discussing and to speak up, but to also accept the group conscience of the group. And then also to vote for a delegate to go and represent my group in a different level of service. And so I have to trust that the person that my group chooses is going to then, in turn, be informed on any group conscious decision that they have. If they have time to come back and discuss with the group and, you know, kind of get an idea of how the group feels, then to trust to go with that. But at like an ABC or an intergroup meeting or a region meeting, that I have to trust that the delegate is going to take not only what the group has said, but also what's happening in that meeting, and give them the authority to make a decision and trust that they're going to do the best they can with what they have. And so knowing that my voice was heard in the meeting, and then as a delegate, it's up to me to go to my group when I can, but also to take in the information and listen to other people, read, get caught up on things, and participate, which is a later concept. But anyway, so there's those responsibilities, and in each thing, I have to trust that the person in that position that's being delegated to, like the delegate, you know, the ABC, the conference decided, okay, we want this concept study group to continue and come back with, you know, these language on these two concepts. And we want the, I'm sorry, just give me about 30 more seconds, as well as the ABC study group, you know, to do a conference charter. Because concept two is going, it's going to play out in the following concepts. And so that's important for me. So because I know it's specifically for concept two, I have to trust that as a trusted servant, whether I'm a delegate, board member, committee member, whatever, I've got to trust that the group is going to find the next person to come behind me to delegate that authority to. And then I can let go, step away, trusting that that's going to happen, and the rotation of service, the spiritual principle of the rotation of service, is going to stay alive, which what keeps the conference alive. And so, yeah, so just the foundation of the agreed upon language to reduce ambiguity and provide clarity. And it's up to me to trust as a member of a group, as a delegate, and so on, to trust that when I delegate, that I'm delegating that authority, and that trusted servant is going to do the best, but they are accountable to the conference, to the groups, and so on. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Sharon. So we delegated 30 minutes for open discussion for the panel members. At this point, we spent a little bit over time on our first section. We may need to trim that 30 minutes back unless you guys just are firing away. So I would say let's shoot for 20 minutes. And can I pass the baton to Dove or Sue to do the calling on of the attendees as they raise their hands for the panel speakers? One of you two like to do that?
20 minutes is fine. Dove, did you want to call?
Sure, I can do that.
That's great.
All right, thank you. So the floor is open for questions, comments to the panelists.
So I scared everybody off. It's really okay to raise hands, ask questions. I'm good just calling your name. Mary Jo.
Yeah. An overriding question for me is generally about the service structure that we have and how we can consider self-selected delegates to be sort of self-selected, because in a lot of cases there's not, in most meetings there's not like a dozen hands raised to be the delegate. It's usually just one person who says, yeah, I can do that. So a group of self-selected delegates making major decisions for the fellowship when we don't have the interim structure, and we're not in a position to have that interim structure, in my opinion, right now. We're a long way from that. Others have areas, regions, districts, whatever they call them. And so what's the thought process about how we deal with that? Can we really call our delegates representatives, a representative body of the fellowship, given this pass?
Are we to just jump in? Is that the process to answer the question?
I'm sorry, Ruby, go ahead.
Because I'd like to give a take on the question that was asked, like, what does it look like? That may be true among a lot of the meetings, or maybe among a lot of people who've been around a long time, and myself included. But the new meetings that are being developed, there doesn't seem to be a dearth of volunteers for those positions. The problem is, after they become a delegate to speak for their group, they find themselves, now I'm not telling you what I think, this is the feedback that I get as a delegate from my group and talking to other delegates of these new and upcoming meetings. They are told, when they express the will of their group, they're told by the people who've been there longer, join a committee. They're not given answers. They're just given directions, which leads into, and I'll follow up because of the time that was so short, was that the concept too isn't, in my experience, it's not about authority. It's about accountability to the delegated task. Authority is established in concept one, commensurate with responsibility. So times are changing. We have new groups and we need to answer to their needs. So yes, the delegates do volunteer. They just don't stay. That's been my experience.
Brad, I hope that, you have your, sorry, Ruby.
I just said, I hope that helped, that answer. I hope that answer helped.
Thank you, Ruby. Brad?
Well, it's true that ACA does not have the robust service structure that AA has, but that doesn't mean we can't get there. Our service structure is evolving. We are already facing a question of how we deal with online intergroups. And I think perhaps once the ABC study subcommittee finishes its work on the charter, perhaps this is another avenue for us to examine and see if we can create a pathway or a map to a pathway to increase the speed with which the ACA service structure evolves. And we can get to the point where we can have representatives from the groups go to intergroups, have representatives from the intergroups go to the region, have representatives from the region form the conference. I know it's hard to imagine us getting there quickly, but I think it will evolve. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad. Sharon?
Hey, yes. I was lucky enough to have a really good, my first sponsor. And when we were studying, part of my, she just didn't study. She's like, we're not just going to study the steps. We got the steps, traditions, and the concepts. And so, like, save a service position, I always go back to this this kind of little analogy thing. So if my service position is to make coffee for the meeting, and I've been making coffee for this meeting for like 5 years, and I'm tired of making the coffee, but somebody's got to make the coffee and nobody else is stepping up to do it, eventually I've got to let go of the coffee. And sometimes it may hurt. People may come in, where's the coffee? Where's the snack? Where, whatever it is, it may hurt, but it's okay, because eventually the people that want it to see how important that is or what they will come. And I have to trust to let go. And that's one of the biggest things in my ACA recovery, Al-Anon recovery, everything, is just to let go, because I'm wanting to know the answer and what it's going to look like. And so I have to take that and then help build. Like, I mean, you know, now that I'm not doing so much at the WSO level, you know, I'm trying to work locally to start building an intergroup here in North Carolina. And hopefully we can get, you know, this region built up eventually. But I just have to take it one day at a time, and I can't do it all by myself. Thank you.
Karen?
Thank you. I'm also still attempting an answer to Mary Jo's question. One approach to consider is that it's kind of like with the business meeting for a regular home group, because however many people attend the meeting, there is always a self-selected smaller, significantly smaller group of people who will stay for the business meeting discussion. So there is an element of self-selection here. Those people will make the decisions for the group as a whole. And if somebody raises questions about the decisions that are made at the business meeting, the response, and they weren't there, the response is come to the next business meeting, bring up your concerns there. The other part of an answer to that particular question is, does the conference really work this way, the way it currently operates? And frankly, I mean, we've heard a few good examples for the ways in which it doesn't work that way. People don't feel heard. People feel like the authority of the conference, delegated or otherwise, is unclear in comparison to the World Service Organization. I just want to refer, kindly posted the language for concept two in the chat, the Al-Anon language, which is the Al-Anon family groups have delegated complete administrative and operational authority to their conference and its service arms, right? It's not just the conference standing alone. The conference has service arms that work on behalf of the fellowship. What are those service arms? And that's where the conversation gets interesting, right? The World Service Organization is a service arm of the conference. If we had the kind of structure, I think Mary Jo was calling it sort of an interim service structure, like regions and intergroups that disseminate authority and accountability from the conference down to individual the local meetings, or up to local meetings, actually, in the inverted triangle version of this. But it's like, if we had that interim structure, those would be service arms of the conference. At least that's how this is understood in Al-Anon. And then the question always is, how do we get from where we are right now, which is rooted in the history of our fellowship, to where we want to be, which is a service structure that can support the needs of an expanding fellowship? Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Denise, I see your hand.
Hi, thanks. I'm following up, and I don't know how coherently I can do that, because I'm really time delay. On the service structure, I also started in Al-Anon, and I was active, but on the group level, but I went like to the district. You know, and what I witnessed was, you know, you had to go to three levels before you'd even be concerned. I mean, three levels of service before you even consider going to the convention and being able to vote on matters because there's experience, there's a lot to learn. And I was shocked that in my meeting, all I had to do is raise my hand and say, I'll be a delegate. I actually read the man. I printed it off. I read it. I was still confused. You know, there's still a lot I didn't understand. I know there's things that I voted on that later it's like, oh, I didn't understand that. I wouldn't have voted that way. So I guess a concern of mine is, and maybe I'm way off track here, is I think delegate training somehow, because it's just, I've been amazed when I, you know, look at the questionnaires or the answers, how few actually went to the trainings, few looked at the delegate manual. So many times delegates goes, I'm confused. And it's like, well, of course they are. I remember being confused too. And the thing is, their votes count whether or not they understand. So I don't know if any of that makes sense. And I hope a little bit did. And I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thanks, Denise. Charlie, I see your hand.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I do want to put in a really good word for the conference, because my first was in 2015 in Austin, Texas. And I would say they had at most 20, 22 delegates, and many of them were sort of drummed in just because it was co-hosted by a Texas Center group. And most of the people truly were almost disoriented, had kind of the ambiance of like a bus station, basically. Where am I? Where am I going? You know, so we actually have like almost 5 times as many delegates, and many more of them are doing repeats. So I think the continuity we have now compared to just 10 years ago, we don't select delegates the same way that like AA does. We can't right now. But I would say, and I say this from the time when I was on the board, major decisions were made by the conference that the board struggled with. And I think basically simply throwing it open to a discussion of, you know, 50, 60, 70, 100 people creates a different kind of way of evaluating the questions facing us. And I think actually the conference has a tendency, sort of like a jury in a court, they're not lawyers. So you would think they wouldn't have as much to bring to the table as the lawyers, but actually they tend to get the common sense questions right most of the time. I would say the conference, in my opinion, does. So I think we need to do a lot. My big takeaway from this August meeting, delegates really do want much better, more clearly presented resources. But I really get cautious anytime I hear any kind of invalidation of the conference that, oh my gosh, this confusion is so great. How can we rely on them? Because I guarantee you it's better than just having 7 or 8 people on a board making the same decisions. In my 6 years, I can definitely say we were often confused, didn't know better. And everybody benefited when the question was opened up to a bigger group. So I personally continue to think we are not in a static situation and we are moving in positive direction. So just my perspective, pass.
Thanks,
Charlie. Oh, and then I do think these concepts will help us keep moving, pass.
Thanks, Charlie. Denise, I think that's an old hand. If I'm right. Okay, moving on. Josh?
Yeah, this is going to be a question for the panelists, which I think is what we're doing right now. So I heard something so two big ideas I heard across the panelists was trust, and especially in what Brad was reading, which I think is really important, is checks and balances. And to me, these two things are entirely related. And I think trust goes in many different directions. It also means perhaps trust of the conference, that people trust the conference. And I think trust isn't blind. It's based on the fact that there are checks and balances. That's just my perspective. So my question, I guess, for the panelists are, How do you see it? What do you see as the relationship between the trust, between the mutual parties in these relationships and checks and balances? Thanks.
Thanks, Josh. Before I throw this to panelists, I'll remind everyone we have 4.5 minutes left in this section, and we have 3 people with questions. So I'll turn it over quickly to panelists. First, Karen.
I was still on mute. Thank you. So how does trust manifest in the relationship between the conference and the fellowship and the conference and the World Service Organization? That's a really important question. And I've actually posted in chat, sort of piggybacking on something that Ruby was commenting on earlier, the Al-Anon version of Concept One, which is very unequivocal about where authority for the fellowship lies, for Al-Anon World Services lies. It belongs to the Al-Anon groups. Concept One in ACA, on the other hand, states final responsibility and ultimate authority for ACA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship, which is it's another very vague notion, which I think undermines the possibility of trust. I think the more clearly we are able to define the relationship between the individual group and the decisions made by the conference and implemented by the World Service Organization, the better able it will be to establish that relationship of trust where the groups know they might not get their way. It's kind of like at the business meeting. I get to be heard at the business meeting, but I might not get my way in the outcome. But there's a clear sense of give and take where groups send a delegate. The delegate is heard and can bring information about the outcome back to the group. And then that informs the group for the future. That relationship is not sufficiently clearly defined in how the concepts of ACA are currently written. And I will go out on a limb here. I really appreciate the work that's being done on concepts 2 and 6. I'm also really grateful that the scope of the concept study group has been expanded to address all 12 concepts, because they can really only make sense if they're understood and read and maybe in this case rewritten in context. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. With 2 minutes left, Sharon, did you want to answer that question?
Yes, I wanted to add my little 2 cents about the trust comes from informed decision making. And, you know, we've talked a lot over the years about knowledge-based decision making that comes from Al-Anon as well. That idea. The original, when we were originally talking about the quarterly delegate meetings, the purpose behind that was to get to create a space for new delegates and you know, delegates that were still serving to get together to talk about like emerging ideas from the fellowship, but also things from WSO, so that they could take back and inform their groups of what's happening, get some feedback, come the next quarter and, you know, have more discussion, so that by the time it come around to the ABC, the majority of the delegates would be informed, and the way proposals or like someone makes a motion, I don't want to get into the proposal thing, but by the time someone makes a motion, it is a collective thing. It's not one group or one committee or one person having ownership of what's being said or knowledge about what's being said, but it has been discussed for pretty much, you know, throughout the year. And brought to, you know, for a vote to increase the to the substantial unanimity in the votes. And to me, that builds trust. that someone's not lacking information and they didn't have time to fully absorb or study or whatever what was on the table. And so I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. Do we want to add 10 minutes to this so we can cover the questions and answers from the panel?
It's fine. We'll just have to cut the ending a little bit short. I mean,
and I'm asking the group, which way do we want to go? Because we've still got two people asking questions and we still want to hear from Ruby and her answer to the last question.
Perhaps maybe rather than a time limit, just allow those three speakers to speak.
I agree.
Can we ask people to keep your answers to 2 minutes or less? And then everybody, these two questions from Marion and Laura will still be okay, and we still get to hear from Ruby. Is that appropriate?
Thanks. It sounds good. Don't forget that the questions they asked may need some answers from somebody as well. But if we maybe look at 8 minutes and then a 2 minute closing, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sounds good.
So will somebody please time each person speaking as well as the 8 minutes? Laura's doing the 8 minutes. And will somebody else please time speakers?
Kaz here, I'll time 2 minutes for speakers. Separate
Thank
phone.
Thank you. Ruby?
Hi, everyone. Just got happy birthday present here. just winking, just came in the mail. My answer to your question, Josh, is what I consider a concept to be essentially about, which is accountability. By holding each other's accountable for the description of whatever the service is that is rendered. And one of the big ways in which the groups can hold the conference accountable is because the groups control the money. Very simple. I only got 2 minutes, okay? Or less than that now. The other aspect is that I love the fact that you're considering the other concepts, because the concepts not only play in concert with the traditions, they also play in concert with the other concepts, which is concept 6, which clearly delineates boundaries. Like, yes, this is your responsibility, right? This is your task, concept 2. But you are held accountable. There are limits to what you can do. What is happening now from my perspective and from the feedback I get from my fellows is that as delegates, and I'm one of them this time around, when we come into the whatever that we've decided we're going to have, ABC, whatever, QDM, whatever it is, the feeling is that the delegates, the representatives of their groups don't have a voice, right? Concept 3 clearly defines that voice. We have the right of decision. Okay. Concept 5 reiterates by saying the voices of the minority in whatever circumstances must be heard. Those are the areas where we have voice and we can use them, but we have boundaries. That's the check and balances that Brad spoke of. The last thing I want to say about this is I try not to forget that I am an adult child. And as an adult child, I had to work the traits, which I have done, not perfectly, but I have done them. And the way the concept 2 is phrased, it strengthens authority. And in concept 1, in trait 1, as we know, ACAers, we fear authority figures. So we hide, we run, and we withdraw. I would like to see an encouragement of bringing people in, because together we can make it. I know that's Al-Anon, but it applies elsewhere. It's elsewhere. That's all I have to say. Thank you for allowing me to share that.
Thank you, Ruby. Marion, 2 minutes.
Speaking as somebody who came to World Service as a delegate for the first time when meeting went on, the ABC went online during COVID, I realized that I am not familiar with American-style representative democracy. And I realize that many other people in my situation are not either. And people kind of take stuff for granted, I think, that this stuff is understandable. I found it's taken me literally years to understand how the system works and to cope with the style of the way things are conducted at ABCs. And one of the things that I've heard repeatedly through my involvement in Global and through my involvement with, because I've maintained connections there, is that issues of education and understanding, so we could be informed adequately, and also an opportunity to become confident in the interaction according to a system that is not familiar, takes time and experience and needs help. And really, I think those aspects of education and assistance to become familiar in order to become informed. I know that in my groups, they keep saying, you do it. We know you're not here anymore, but you do it because it's too scary for us. So that doesn't feel comfortable for me. I would really like to see others step up to the service, but they find it intimidating and overwhelming. And I'm wondering how communicating the details of the concepts in a way that is clear and providing education will make a more informed group conscious outside of North America. I would really like to see that happen. And I believe that spelling things out and giving training and education on an ongoing basis will make an enormous difference. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Marianne. Anyone from the panel want to respond to that? If not, I'll go to the next question. Sharon?
Yes, thank you, Marian. Two things. The first thing is, with these rewrite of the concepts and everything, I'd love to see, you know, our literature, once the conference votes on, you know, approval language, but to write some rationale in simple language underneath each one of those, like, this is where at this time in this year that we, you know, why we believe that this is the wording, and just to explain in simple language each concept. Another thing is some of the that, you know, ACA that makes us different is that our meetings, our groups are all around the world, and theoretically, however many groups we have, there could be a delegate from each one of those groups converging on this ABC, and that's thousands of delegates that it would be, and that would be completely unmanageable. So the other groups like Al-Anon AA, you know, that it makes sense to me that they, you know, they actually do have things divided into different parts of the world. We're still young. We're still growing into that. And so eventually, in my mind, the goal is for the, you know, worldwide, you know, autonomy in these different matters, where it doesn't matter, you know, if I'm sitting in the United States and using language that, you know, is really a North American thing or a North American way of doing things, it doesn't force that onto, you know, someone around the world that does something different. Not that they're doing it wrong, not that I'm doing it wrong, just different. And so supporting each other in that. And I think that we're heading in that direction. Thanks.
Thanks, Sharon. Laura, I see your hand.
Hi, thanks. I just had one or two things. I'd like to see the vetting of delegates or self-vetting. You know, I think that might be harder for groups to do, but intergroups could definitely do it. This year when I volunteered to be a delegate, I, you know, I authenticated or vetted myself and spoke of my past service. And I think that that's important. And then also give them a pledge to report back to them, because that would be my duty. I think, and my last point is just if there's a way for the newer delegates when they come in to do a cross reach when they're registering and you get that email, I don't know if that's a way to like follow up by phone or like how many, you know, interviewing them, if that would help them, how many, you know, ABCs have you been to? Have you read, you know, such and such, you know, like ask simple questions maybe and then find out who needs to be brought along. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Laura. It does show that we're out of time for this section. So, Kelly, I'll turn it back to you and we'll proceed. You're muted, Kelly.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, guys, so this is really the end of, supposed to be the end of our town hall. Give us just a couple more minutes, cause we have you for this wrap up section, and I don't really know that we have time for open discussion. So take away the ending.
Okay. I think we touched briefly on the what will we do with comments. So I am definitely gonna skip on that, and I'll just pretty much say thank you all. You have been heard. That's why we're recording. We will take all these things back. As I tried to say, a lot of the discussion has focused on how it is appropriate for our fellowship to make any changes. And that is going to continue being a core issue that not only the committees are doing, but for the entire fellowship, because the committees are merely those people who have volunteered their time. We do not speak for or on behalf of WSO or the conference. We are simply trying to put our best thinking together to come up with a way to move forward. And so this is going to be a continuing discussion. Another question was, are there going to be any future sessions? And this is the first educational event, and it says potentially. What we meant by that was we hope there will be another, at least one more on Concept 2. And we expect that for everything that we do, there will be one or more teleconferences or mechanisms for which we hear from each other and share as best we can. And finally, I'll just say, you know, how do you get in contact? How do you stay in contact? We've already received an email from an individual who was not able to attend today stating their opinion. And we have a webpage, and on that webpage, you will also see information shown here regarding our open Slack channel. It is not a controlled membership channel. If you're on Slack, you just go to concepts_questions_feedback. You start out with a hashtag, of course, and post whatever you need to post: question, statement, reaction, have a conversation with each other. And of course, email. That email will end up in our closed committee channel, so we will see it and take it into consideration. And so with that, I'm going to turn it back to Sue.
Okay. Cause I'm seeing two hands, but we're out of time. And I also just wanted to say, for those that didn't get enough the first time around, we're doing this all over again at 9 o'clock Eastern time today. Yay. For those that are still sleeping or those that couldn't be here today for whatever reason, we're doing the same wonderful discussion at 9 p.m. Eastern time today as well. So how does the committee want to do this? I see two hands, and I know I'm leading us all out in the Serenity Prayer. So I'm asking the group, what do you want me to do?
There's two things I'd like to have us communicate before we wrap up, if we could. One is, this is not a closed committee. So if anybody has felt inspired by the questions and what we're all working on today, please email us at this address on the screen, conceptstudy@acawso.org, because we absolutely would welcome anybody with the level of commitment people have shown today to be a part of the process. And then just also, I wanted to mention, because a few people mentioned it toward the end, we've gotten this far on concept two. We're fairly far along on concept six, and the conference now has authorized us to look at all 12 concepts. So this is going to be an ongoing process. And so again, anybody who would like to take part in it, you please feel invited.
And I'll just tack onto that very quickly. That will include thinking about the best mechanism for approval and dissemination.
So we welcome all new volunteers coming in. There was a question from Bradford. I saw his hands down. Do we want to take that? And there's another question in the chat. Because I want to be respectful of everyone's time.
I say we take it.
Okay, so Bradford.
I was just going to ask to verify that that's the correct email address. It's concept singular study.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
All righty, thank you. And Sharon has a question. Will there be a meeting similar to this for Concept 6? And I think we're talking about this in the committee, but we don't have anything confirmed at this stage. Is that a good answer from the committee?
Yes, because we haven't even presented the language, but at least our thinking probably would start with what did we do for this concept two, and how can we improve that?
Thank you. And it would be lovely, Josh.
Yeah, I do. I feel remiss if I didn't mention this whole thing that's been raised very quickly. I'm going to go through this. About how does the whole fellowship approve? I believe AA heads here, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe this same question came up in AA about their charter, and the way they handled it was it went to one, the conference, but then number two, their convention. I'm not saying we should do it that way. I'm just saying that historically, other fellowships have wrestled with this same problem, and that's how they chose to handle it. Thank you, Pax.
Thank you. And I just see one last question in the chat that it talked about a change should be made on the WSO organization's chart with list of emails. I believe Trish is doing all of that. So if you think there's something missing, please get in contact with Trish through the secretary email. That would be great. And I think if that's it, can we go out with a serenity prayer for everyone? All righty. So I'm going to ask everyone to take a deep breath. And let us say our ACA serenity prayer in whatever language, in whatever form that's calling your heart. And I'm going to do it in an affirmation and the extended version. Today, I seek the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me. I seek patience for the changes that take time and appreciation for all that I have. A love, tolerance, and acceptance for those with different struggles, and the strength to get up and try again, one day, one moment at a time. Thank you all.
Thank you all very much for coming.
Thank you for all
Thanks,
your work.
Thank
everybody.
you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for putting this Great on. work. Yeah, great work, people.
Thank you.
Okay.
And good luck tonight.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh,
Thanks.
speaking
Thanks
which,
for having me. Thank you.
yes,
Wonderful.
Ruby.
Thanks.
So glad you're here. Thank you, Ruby.
And before everybody leaves, Kaz and Josh, are you still on the call?
Yeah, I'm just going to stop the recording, everyone,
Okay.
just so that we have that. Okay.
So I just wanted to see if you guys have any more insight.